Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And good afternoon, everybody, for another edition of our Straight Talk program. Tyler Cupp filling in for Manning Kimmel today. And, of course, we're broadcast live, as we always are, at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. And we're brought to you today by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Also with us today, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. Find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. Also with us today is Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road and Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. And by Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care. Find out more at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. Well, we are with a very interesting individual here today, as we always have here on Straight Talk, getting to know him, Judge Phil Ginn. He is the president of Southern Evangelical Seminary, and you may have heard of him. They've been there 30 years. But he has been the president for 3 years, and they are in the process of moving to Rock Hill. They're in Rock Hill, but they're in the process of having a new facility in a familiar building in Rock Hill. So we will get to that in just a bit, but there is a lot to learn about Mr. Phil Ginn. Phil, how are you?
I'm doing great, Tyler. Hope you are, sir.
Phil, thank you for being here and sharing your story. Let's tell the folks a little bit about yourself before we kind of go into your story a little bit more detail, but tell us about Phil Ginn.
Well, there's not much to tell other than that I've got a beautiful wife, four daughters, and five lovely grandchildren. I've got pictures if anybody wants to see them later, but I am a little over, I'm a senior citizen, let's just leave it at that, and have spent 22 years as a Superior Court judge and District Court judge, trial court judge in North Carolina, and retired from that job in 2014, and ended up going to Tulsa, Oklahoma for a brief respite out there of 3 years and owned and operated a horizontal pump company there until somebody wanted to buy it a whole lot more than I wanted to keep it. So then retired a second time, and suffice it to say that I'm probably a complete failure at retirement. So at any rate, Southern Evangelical called me, and they were in need of a president, and I took on the job not knowing how long it would last. It was one of those things that, well, I'll stay long enough till you can find somebody else, and they don't want to find anybody else. I don't know why. I guess nobody else wants the job, but at any rate, I've been there for a little over 3 years now.
Well, tell us about Southern Evangelical Seminary.
Southern Evangelical Seminary was founded about 33 years ago, some odd time like that, by Dr. Norm Geisler, who is fairly well-known in theological circles, passed away a few years ago, and by Dr. Ross Rhodes, who was the pastor at that time of Calvary Church in, it's not Baptist, Calvary Church in Charlotte. He later became the chaplain for the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. So it was designed to basically help people with their faith. It's concentrated on theology, of course, but apologetics, which is the defense of the Christian faith, as well as a philosophical approach that really tries to help people think through the tough questions of their faith and through the tough questions of culture and bring them closer to a relationship with God.
We'll talk more about it as we go along, but let's get right to the news that you just told me right before we came on air. You know, we sat here and talked for 20 minutes, but then you revealed that this new building that you're about to move in very soon, and here in a couple of weeks, you're hoping to get the keys by Thanksgiving. So let's tell people where it is. It's Cinema Drive, which is the old Charlotte Metro Event Center. Right. It's there off Dave Lyle, where the movie theater is, behind TJ Maxx. But kind of tell us how this all came about and when you plan to move in.
Well, we sold our building, our last building that was located in the Ballantyne area of Charlotte. It really wasn't useful for our our current purposes and current needs. And so we sold it, and that was back in January, and thinking that we would find some place to move to. We did have a rent back, lease back portion, and I guess it was back during spring or summer. I came down to re-engage with an old friend by the name of John Reinhart. John Reinhart, who was actually my youth minister when I was a senior in high school, and I actually worked for John. John's always been quite a bit of an entrepreneur, and I worked for him in the summertime there in Boone for a year or so. So we were just eating lunch, and of course John is in the real estate business. He's been in the real estate business for years, and so I was explaining to him that we were looking for a building, and he said, well, we'd love to have you in Rock Hill. And I said, I'm not opposed to being in Rock Hill, but we just haven't found anything. And he said, well, I may have the place for you. And so I went and looked at it, and we'd looked at multiple buildings at that point in time, and I wasn't able to get inside of it, but I looked on the outside of it and told my wife, I said, you know, this is where the Lord wants us to be. So we ended up buying the building, and we're in the process now of we did a little deconstruction, not a lot, but we're upfitting the interior to meet our needs, and we're excited about that, and we're just in the short rows of finishing that up. Should be done by Thanksgiving, and we're going to be moving in and hopefully in the month of December and up and running in January.
Well, great news. Good for you guys. That's a pretty quick process. I'm sure you would agree.
It was a quick process, and I'm so excited about it because we are very keyed in on technology, and the building is the interior of the building is what I would call mid-level construction. I mean, it's not anything like a Taj Mahal. It'll be efficient, it'll be nice, and all of that. But what I'm excited about is that it's going to be top line from a technology standpoint. We're going to have our own production facility inside it. You can come over and hold your radio station, a radio program there if you'd like. We're really excited about coming into the community and to coming into our new building.
Well, and I guess we should go into, because this is one of the things that I had coming into this. I thought it was more along the lines like a school. This is going to be used as a headquarters.
That's true.
For the seminary, somewhat of a training center as well. And you said that it's more of a build out inside. You know, you would imagine an event center would be one big room.
That's pretty much what it was.
Yeah, so you guys are kind of catering it with offices and things like that. Yeah. So maybe kind of go into what this facility will be used for when you mention it's your headquarters.
Well, one of the most exciting things for me is that we are branching out as a seminary to actually do what I will call non-academic training. We want to be the champion of the church in America, and so we're utilizing these facilities and our technology that's housed within those facilities to reach out to pastors and church leaders to really work with them in discipling and growing faith amongst their members, and we're also working with several parachurch organizations. We've partnered in the past with BGEA, the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, Samaritan's Purse, several other organizations of that type to offer training to their folks as well. And so it's really going to be, I think, a very positive thing for not only the community of Rock Hill, but for the nation and the world. We actually have students from probably 10 or 12 different nations right now.
Wow.
And
now,
so
if you don't
excited about that.
If you don't mind going into kind of a world that I did not know about until I met you, it's mostly online, and you said it's not just for new ministers and pastors, but longtime ministers and pastors can continue their education here. Is that right?
Well, what we found and what we know is that a lot of times you'll have pastors that have come out of seminary from 10 or 12 years ago, and they had absolutely no introduction, if you will, to a lot of the issues that are out there in the culture now. And so we literally deal with the hard issues that folks who might be skeptical could raise, so that we remove those obstacles to their search for faith. And what I see right now, Tyler, is that particularly this younger generation, whatever whatever alphabet letter they are now, I can't keep up with all of it. But
Z, X, you know,
whatever. they're literally seeking. They don't know sometimes what they're seeking for, but they know that there's something out there that they need to understand and grasp, and so they're looking for that, and they're looking for meaning in their lives, and that's where I think we can come in and certainly help with that.
Do you mind going into some of those challenges that you mentioned that are kind of new in 2024 as opposed to challenges in like 1984?
You've got all of what I call the alphabet sex issues.
Sure.
LGBT, I don't know what all the nomenclature's there. You've got transgenderism. You've got all sorts of new concepts in culture that didn't exist 10, 15, 20 years ago. Your whole thing of women's issues has evolved into, it's a splintered culture that we live in, if you will, Tyler.
Sure.
Everybody's got their own little niche that they want to be concerned with. We're still very concerned with race relations.
Hmm.
But that's certainly the definitions and race relations have changed considerably over the last few years. We've gone from Martin Luther King to the wokeness that was promulgated for a while and seems to be a little bit on the wane now, but still was there. And there are just so many issues that Christians particularly face in today's world that we want to take a biblical approach to them.
Sure.
And though they be new issues, the same thought processes apply to new issues that's applied to our lives all from the time we're born to the time we die.
You know, you said this is the seminary is a way of thinking, a way of methodology. Is it also just a way of understanding, just kind of understanding what's all out there? And when you're having these training courses, these online courses, it's just a way of how to speak to these folks and there in turn in their ministry talk to other people.
Well, we have a philosophical and a logical approach. I was raised in the country, so I can say common sense, which is not very common anymore. Sometimes the simplest answer is the best answer, and so we walk people through how to view the world and how to think through the world. And we do that by through the use of ancient philosophers, Thomas Aquinas in particular and some of the others, and really as a practical approach to solving problems, to solving issues, to certainly with a biblical context. And you know, we even start with, can you trust the Bible and go forward with that? And I will tell you that I'm the first president of the school that is actually a graduate of the school. And I came down probably 03 or 04 and was just having a little bit of a crisis of faith in my own life. Not that I was losing my faith, but I just needed some answers and to some questions that were troubling me. And I thought I'd take one course, and I walked in and met Dr. Norm Geisler and spent a little time with him. And by the time I walked out of his office, his persuasive ability had caused me to enroll in the Doctor of Ministry program. So I took a three-year program and managed to spread it out over about 10 years and graduated with it. But if you talk to our students now, talk to our graduates, one of the things they'll always say is, I learned how to think there. I learned how to critically think. And that's what's missing in our society now. Even those who think they know how to critically think may not. And the Bible, ultimately, Tyler, makes a lot of sense if you think through it. So that's what we're about. And we're not going to answer every question, nor can any other system, including atheists or agnostics. They don't have all the answers. You got to have faith to be an atheist or an agnostic.
I've been trying to think this whole time since I learned I was doing this program of making the connection of you being a judge and then now being a president of this seminary, trying to find the similarities or the methodology or thinking, understanding. Again, I use that word again, of you have to understand the law. But you also have to understand there are so many different cultures and, you know, the way people want to be identified and types of thinking. Does that, did that, you think, help at all, your career as a judge to now being the president of this seminary?
Well, you know, one of the benefits of growing old, if there is a benefit of growing old, Tyler, is that you can begin to look at your life and see how different life experiences intertwine with what you're doing and what abilities or disabilities that you might have. And while I don't know that there's a direct correlation between being a judge and being a president of an entity like Southern Evangelical Seminary, I certainly think that there are things that help.
Yeah.
I learned things at SES that helped me as a judge. I remember talking with young lawyers who always want to be smart, and sometimes smart Alex, when they come in front of a judge. And a young fellow was talking to me, and he ended up his consummation of his argument. He said, "And Judge, after all, everything is relative." And I looked at him and I said, "Well, counselor, is that a relative statement or an absolute statement that you just made?" And he kind of was dumbfounded and he said, "Judge, I don't think I know what you mean." And I said, "I know you don't know what I mean." And I said, "You've just made an absolute statement that everything's relative." So it kind of confused him for a little while. But those are the kinds of things that help you recognize that that some of the things that we think as fact are really absurd. In their foundations, and so we got to get back to that good basis of how we think, in order for us to fully understand and comprehend our faith, particularly as we see it from a biblical standpoint.
You know, and you guys have a very informational website, a very good website in terms of, you know, trying to learn about this. Again, the Southern Evangelical Seminary. We're talking with Judge Phil Ginn, who is the president of the school. You know, when it comes to that, what's kind of the next step in this after you guys move in? Obviously, you're going to build up your headquarters there at the seminary, but what's kind of the next step for all this?
Well, the next step is doing business as usual. I mean, we've got a seminary that's up and running. We have close to 400 students now, that and actually our student body is up about 15 or 20% year over year.
Wow.
At a time when... when you find a lot of seminaries and faith-based organizations are in decline, we are thankfully not that way. We're growing, and so we're trying to absorb that growth and learn how to be excellent. We are obviously at all times looking to be sure that we're financially secure and that we use those gifts that people give to us in a wise way. As we enter into the new... area of our building, we're going to be very heavily into podcasting through YouTube and other areas to reach people in that way. You know, a lot of times folks are not even going to church or doing anything, but are focused on what's on their phones or what's on their computers. And so we're going to be reaching people that way. We're going to reach out to what we commonly call the nuns and the duns. You know, maybe some of them had an experience with church and it wasn't necessarily good, but we're trying to reach into the individuals and to the folks who are reaching individuals in that way, and we're talking about disciple making through our training center.
It's time now for our mid-program break. I want to remind you that we are broadcasting live from Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop. And, of course, we're brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. At Substation 2, they make fresh subs and salads 6 days a week, but they do it using a magical ingredient. How do they do it? 3, 2, 1. Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden. Back with more.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI and CN2.
Stuck in the office? Can't get away from school? Then go to our website, mysubstationii.com, click on your delivery choice, place your order, and they'll bring your sub or salad to you at home, school, the office, or even where you're watching the game. Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
Our common sense investing is not designed to take your life savings, roll the dice, and make you rich. We design a plan to keep the standard of living you have grown accustomed to the same throughout your retirement, be it 20, 30, or even 40 more years. Anderson Griggs Investments, 324-5044, or online at andersongriggs.com.
If your primary care physician has recommended surgery for a medical condition and non-invasive medical treatments are not an option, you may want to talk to your surgeon about new, less invasive surgical techniques. At Piedmont Medical Center, we use da Vinci robotic surgery, a robot-assisted system controlled by your surgeon designed to allow for greater surgical precision during many general GYN and urology procedures that potentially offers you a quicker recovery. Learn more online at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care, because what we do is about more than property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140 or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
Shop for the holidays smarter this year with Founders Federal Credit Union. Now through December 31st, take advantage of 7.9% APR on select purchases made with your Founders credit card. Spread more holiday cheer this year without breaking your budget. Visit foundersfcu.com/cc for more information. Terms and conditions apply. To obtain additional cost information, please contact us at 1-800-845-1614. On July 1st, 2025, the promotional APR will revert to the effective APR as previously disclosed. Visit foundersfcu.com/cc for a list of qualifying purchases.
If life is getting in the way of having your favorite substation sub or salad, there is a solution. Just go to our website, mysubstationii.com, click on your delivery choice, place your order, and they'll bring it to you wherever you are. Substation 2 Cherry Road across from Winthrop. This is Charlie Ruffalo, and I paid for this message.
Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here for another edition of our Straight Talk program. Tyler Cupp filling in for Manning Kimmel. And, of course, we're broadcast live at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, here with Judge Phil Ginn, the president of Southern Evangelical Seminary. He's been the president there for 3 years, and they are moving to Rock Hill. They are moving to the old Charlotte Metro Events Center, which is in Rock Hill, of course. It is near the movie theater, off Dave Law Boulevard behind TJ Maxx. You know where that building is, near some of those hotels, off Cinema Drive. So that is where it is going to be located. They hope to be moving in with their headquarters here in just a couple of weeks. So one thing I want to jump to when it comes to religion, you also talk politics. I saw a lot of posts, whether it be funny or not, you know, pray for our president, pray for this, pray for that. You know, whether you're religious or not, you know, you obviously want to pray for our country when there's new leadership. There may be leadership you didn't agree with, maybe leadership you do agree with, and obviously praying to make sure he makes the right decisions. When it comes to the seminary and the courses and the methodology and the thinking that you've talked about, how does that go into when you're talking about politics, when that comes up?
Well, first of all, Tyler, in my history as a judge, I've been very involved in politics. And so politics are nothing new to me in that regard. I certainly am not a candidate, nor do I desire to be a candidate. The old concept, I believe it was Calvin Coolidge, when somebody asked him about running for a second term, he said, if nominated, I will not run. If elected, I will not serve. So that's kind of my philosophy now. But we try as a seminary to refrain from endorsing candidates, but we feel compelled to talk about issues.
Sure, yeah.
And we need to...
That's what I meant, I'm sorry.
We feel like we need to talk about these issues from a biblical perspective and bring biblical insights into those questions that face our nation. So I've been pretty outspoken about that. I've got a podcast that will be... that's slightly up and running now, and by that I mean it's not been fully blown out, but it's got some content on it, a YouTube channel that's entitled Truth on Trial. And so what we're trying to do, what I'm personally trying to do with that YouTube channel, and what we're trying to do generally as a seminary, is to speak out about these issues and to give folks some background, some biblical background. And quite honestly, you know, as a judge, I was told many times, if everybody left the courtroom matter and you know what at you, then you probably made the right decision. And and so we don't, I'm not so concerned about currying favor with this. I'm really trying to, with the podcast, to slice it from a biblical standpoint, and regardless of where that falls, then you can take a look at that. And for instance, I do an op-ed basically once a week that thankfully gets published in some fairly important places, including Fox News and Newsmax and the Washington Times and some other Christian posts from time to time. But I basically said at that point in time, in that particular one, you need to not only look at the names that are on the ballot, you need to look at the policies that are underlining the names on the ballot. Mm. And consider those policies and certainly and issues. And certainly there were some significant issues in this past election that superseded the qualities or the disabilities of the candidates whose names appeared on the ballot. There were so many of my friends, and I understand their pain, felt that neither Mr. Trump nor Ms. Harris was the best candidate to be running. Obviously, some were very prominent in their thought processes and believing that they were as well. But that's why that's important. It's not the main thing. Yeah. The main thing is what are we going to do about the issues? And there were certainly very, very important issues, not the least of which is things like the deficit spending, which neither party, neither candidate spoke about.
Never talked about it.
About it. And it may be one of the biggest issues. And so we can't, we know as Christians that we can't continue to spend money that we don't have.
Right.
It doesn't make sense. You've got issues like, men and women's sports, men and women's bathrooms, and certainly from a biblical standpoint, it has a lot to say about that kind of activity. There's a lot the Bible says about the topic of abortion that it's really not a political position, it's a biblical position that we pursue. And so I felt the call, and certainly SES answers that call to a great extent, to again do exactly what we were talking about before, apply biblical principles to the issues facing our nation and our world today.
Last thing, I couldn't help but realize you are from Boone, North Carolina, and that area was so strongly affected by the storms of Helene, and you had told me that in your area you were fine, but you know a lot of people, and that devastation is just unbelievable.
We, my wife and I, and we have a daughter as well in Boone, we were inconvenienced by what happened. I think we lost power for a few days, 4 or 5 days, best I know. I'll pat myself on the back. I had enough foresight to, several years ago, plug in a whole house generator, wired it into my system. So,
we were
the bathhouse for the neighborhood during that period of time.
Good for you.
So we had water, our well's hooked into it. So we were fine. Had to pick up a few sticks that are still laying in my front yard in a pile. But you didn't have to go very far, just a few miles to, in fact, one of our neighbors had two flattened cars. But you go a little bit further and there's a good bit of loss of life. And,
yeah.
And unfortunately, just to be perfectly honest, I don't think that the mainstream media and our government fully told us all the damage that was there.
Well, our guest was Judge Phil Ginn, president of Southern Evangelical Seminary. Mr. Ginn, give us that website one more time.
It's ses.edu.
All right. Well, best of luck to you and the seminary as you guys move into that new building off Cinnamon Drive. We're broadcasting live at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, where they make fresh subs and salads 6 days a week, and they do it with a magical ingredient. 1, 2, 3, slice, 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 garden, garden, garden. Manning will be back tomorrow.